Now, if you're good, we could dismiss class early. If you're bad, you can walk out whenever you want. But I appreciate the questions that continued to be asked after we finished our session. And I'm far from the answer man. But if you have questions about that subject or any other subject, and you see me in the hall or someplace else, and if I could be of any help at any time to anybody, I'd be happy to do whatever I can do. If you just want to know about New York and what it's like to live there, I can answer that question too. If you want me to tell you why the Golden State Warriors are not going to repeat next year, I can tell you what. No, I won't go that far. They probably will. We're getting a little too verbal over here. Now, this is what I plan to do this afternoon. At least I hope we can. There's a Bible verse. It's Hebrews 13:15. And it simply says, "Let us, therefore, through Jesus or by Jesus Christ, offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, giving thanks to his name." Now, I left out a phrase. Which phrase did I leave out? The fruit of our lips. The fruit. We've been trying to talk about some fruit. The Holy Spirit brings forth fruit by the life and virtue of the Spirit of God. Here we're told that we're to offer to him a sacrifice of praise to our God continually. And then if you don't know what that means, if you don't understand what does it mean to thank him or praise him continually, he spells it out. That is the fruit of your lips. Now, that must mean it's something that comes from our mouth, out of our lips, out of our mouths. This dismisses the idea that, well, I'm thankful in my heart all the time, but I just never let it go through my lips. It's supposed to come through your lips, and it's supposed to come through your lips continually. You're to offer to him a sacrifice of praise, of thanksgiving, continually. That's the fruit of our lips. Sometimes what comes out of our mouth isn't so glorifying to God. It's not really fruit that glorifies or honors him. We want to be able to be those men and women and young people that can honor him with our lips, praising, worshiping, and thanking him. So and maybe we'll come back together and facilitate this somewhere at the end, but we're going to talk a little bit together about that subject. Now, I was trying to do my best doctor's impression when I wrote this, so if it's not legible, that's the reason why. And I also, when I just read it now, I'm looking at it and I thought, wow, did I write that? Is that, the English is poor. I mean, sometimes I used, like, what is salvation in this verse? What does salvation in this verse mean? That doesn't make any sense. What it should say is, what does salvation in this verse mean? Okay, you'll be able to decipher it. If you're a pharmacist, you'll particularly be able to figure out what I'm writing. But I think it'll be clearer as you go along. The premise for right now, and I hope, I'm told that you're in groups, or at least somehow or other group together. What I'd like you to do is take this this sheet of paper and just try to answer the questions. Try not to have just one person answer all the questions, but just go over them, think about what it might mean, what it might... See, for instance, just to give you a hint, that word salvation has nothing to do with saving from sin in the context of Psalm 50, verse 23. In the NIV Bible, that verse says, "He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and he prepares the way that I may show him the salvation of God." A fruitful life, the fruit of our lips, elicits some power of God upon our lives whereby salvation is accomplished. And as you go through the rest of the questions, maybe you could come up with some answers. If you get stuck If you get stuck, if you, I don't know what he's talking about, I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe somebody else in the group will be able to bail you out. But if nobody knows, you can just like flag me down. I'll be over here with these guys because they're the smart group. And I want to make sure they stay smart. And so I'm going to be over there with them, but just flag me down. You know, what do you mean? I don't understand what you're talking about. And if you really get stuck that you can't come up with the illustrations that are asked for, take a look at this article. I'm not going to read any of it to you or with you. But take a look at the one that says, praise the Lord and take courage, and you'll find answers to some of these questions right inside of this article. You'll find out what salvation means if you read this article. You'll find out some examples in the scriptures if you read this article. Now, don't read it unless you're stuck, or unless you really want to. But you can do whatever you want with this article. Take it home. And at the end, when we come back, before we dismiss, I'm going to refer to this last article that says aim to praise at all times. So, without any further ado, we have about 50 minutes left, 50 minutes left. I would hope that we could break into our groups and for the next 20 minutes just discuss or look at or talk about this sheet of paper. Read this. If you run out of things to do, read this. And if you finish doing everything within 20 minutes, you probably rushed it. Go over your exam twice. Check to make sure you wrote down the right answers. Or you don't have to write down anything. I'm not collecting anything. Think about it. Discuss it. Benefit by it. And let's ask the Lord for his help. Why don't we just pray before we go into our groups? Father, we want to thank you that you're here with us, Lord. We know that as we draw near to you, you come near to us. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to sense your presence. Sometimes it's so felt and almost palpable. But Lord, we always know by your word that you're here. And we pray, Lord, that you will open our understanding. Our desire is to know you better. Our desire is to understand your word with clarity. We thank you when he, the Spirit of truth, comes. He leads and guides us into all truth. And Lord, here's a truth of your scripture to bring the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to your name. But there are so many byproducts. There are so many victories won as we learn this lesson. It's not only beneficial to us or to you in hearing our praise or adoration, but you work through praise. You answer praise. It's a form of expressing our faith and confidence in you as we acknowledge and praise your name. And so teach us, Lord, we pray. We pray that you'll just be part of every discussion group. That, Lord, what we do or say will be edifying to one another and glorifying to thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So please do whatever it is in your group. If there's a leader in your group or somebody that wants to say, okay, let's start, number one, here we go. And you can turn me off because I'm only talking to them. Uh-oh. Old Testament. Okay. Yeah, OT is Old Testament. Are you guys all in one group? Is this what, one group? But they broke off? You guys broke off? What are you, seceding? You're like California seceding from the Union? Is that what's happening? All right, well, if they seceded, I'm not gonna try to bring them back. Is anybody finished? Because we're not. Are you? Could you spend another 10 minutes on this? Okay, go for it. Turn me off. Okay, she's back. No, we're not. Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Are we ready? I don't want to belabor the point, but I do want to keep on moving and get through with this little time together. I hope my chicken scribble and the thoughts that were raised were in some way, shape, or form beneficial to you. I hope that you got something out of it. I hope that we can better put into practice and learn to offer to him a sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. A sacrifice we came up with, and I'm only going to tell you what we came up with, and I'm going to ask you to come up with whatever you came up with. But we said over here that a sacrifice is something that's costly at times, sometimes more costly than others. Sometimes they sacrifice the bull, sometimes they sacrifice the lamb, sometimes they sacrifice the dove. But whatever the sacrifice was, it was at cost to the one that was offering it. Praising the Lord, the fruit of our lips, is a sacrifice, and sometimes, believe you me, it is a sacrifice. It's not easy. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's just downright plain good old difficult. And you might almost think impossible. Let me just put two things together. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. You read Ephesians 5:20, give thanks for everything. I wonder if the conclusion really is, you can't do this. You can't speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. That's a byproduct of being filled with the Spirit. Because in yourself, you just can't offer a sacrifice of praise when it's that costly. What does salvation mean in Psalm 50? Somebody, just raise your hand. Who can I call on? Who can I ask? What did you come up with? Maybe you didn't come up with it, but what did your group come up with? What does salvation mean in the context of Psalm 50? Yes?
Passover.
Now, there you go. That's one that I didn't come up with or think of. Passover. Anybody else come up with one?
Yeah.
Offering
thanks to God, pleasing the Lord.
An offering to God, pleasing the Lord, is salvation. That's sacrifice. We finished sacrifice. We're moving on. Let's go again. Yes.
Jesus.
Salvation is Jesus. Okay, I'm not going to argue with that. I'd be on shaky ground to do that. Yes, sir. Deliverance. Yes.
The salvation means be with God and redemption.
Okay.
And
let me just cut to the chase here. I like what these guys came up with. Maybe because I came up with it. But in this context, that word salvation has nothing to do with the blood of Jesus or cleansing you from sin. Okay? Yes. Obviously, I'm not saying that the blood of Jesus doesn't cleanse us from sin, and that's not called salvation. But the word salvation, and the way that we found it and came across it in our group, is I just took out my phone and said, okay, Google, define salvation. Salvation is preservation from harm, ruin, or loss. Salvation is preservation or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. Now, yes, of course it can be applied to my eternal salvation through the blood of Jesus, but it's not limited to that. Salvation is deliverance, not necessarily preservation. That's not only Google, that's, so if you look at a Greek lexicon, you'll find the same words used. That's what salvation is. Now, if you offer thanksgiving to the Lord, that's the way, through that sacrifice of thanks, praising, fruit of your lips, that's the way, Psalm 50, verse 23, that's the way I show my salvation. Really now? Is that scriptural? Is there any place in the Old Testament where you can prove that that may be true? We came up with several. Three or four? Did anybody come up with one in your groups? Yes. Okay. Did you have to read the article to come up with that? That's good. That's what the article is for. 2 Chronicles 20, and I won't belabor the point because you've probably talked about it already in your little groups, but Jehoshaphat sent an army of singers. I was asking some of the choir members over here in this group, how would you like to lead that army? How would you like to be the most vulnerable one going out to face the Amorites and the warlike people that would take your head off? How would you like to go out? Well, what you need to do is you need to go out singing. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I don't know. That's a sacrifice. I don't know if I want to do that. That's hard. Yeah, that's a sacrifice. It's hard. It's not always the first thing uppermost in your mind. But that was God's way there with Jehoshaphat. Send the choir out. Have them sing. And as they sang, what transpired? Salvation. Deliverance. The Lord sent ambushments against the enemy. They started to rout one another, and God's people were saved, delivered, preserved, because there were a group of people that offered a sacrifice of praise, of thanks. The New Testament says those Old Testament stories are written as examples to you so that we can learn the lessons. One more from the Old Testament. Now, again, we came up with more than just, but one more where there was a note of praise, a note of triumph, a note of thanksgiving, and what a mighty victory there was won. Hezekiah. Okay. Someone in our group said Job. Just thanked and praised the Lord, and his end was more. The Lord multiplied and gave him more and prospered him. They're all good. Someone said Daniel when he threw those windows open and thanked the Lord, and God preserved him and spared him. But the one that came to my mind more readily, and we came up with it also, was what? I won't ask you guys. Could we sing, guys? You want to sing it? Two. Ready? Go. Jehoshaphat, the battle of Jericho. 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 Jehoshaphat, the battle of Jericho. And the walls came tumbling down. Woo. You remember. Salvation. Deliverance. A shout. And I said to the kids over here, I said, oh, these mature young people, I said, I don't think they just went, woo! Yippee-ki-yay-oh-ki-yay! I don't think they shouted that. I don't know what they shouted, but I dare say it had something maybe to do with, may God be glorified. May God be magnified. Hallelujah! His mercy endureth forever. And they gave a shout of triumph, and the walls came down. Salvation, deliverance. Anybody in the New Testament? Paul and Silas. Was that a sacrifice? No, that was easy. I mean, that's what I do when I get beat up and put in stocks in at midnight. That's what I do if I'm in jail. I sing praise to God. That's what I do. That's what everybody does. That's what every Christian does, right? That's what you do. That's what I do. That's what nobody does. But we're more prone to... Why? Why did this happen to me now? I try to do a good thing for the Lord. Look where it wants me. We murmur, we gripe, we complain, we groan, we mumble, we find fault or something or other. And the Lord says, you're going to stay right in your jail cell, right in your stocks, right in your misery if you're going to keep that attitude. There's a way that I'll show my salvation. There's a way to overcome. And you know, the circumstances may not change, but you will. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. He manifests himself as he's glorified, and he shows us his salvation. As Paul, I don't know if it was Paul that initiated it. I think he did. I think Paul, he nudged Silas in stocks. I was telling him, I was in stocks one time in a place called Sturbridge in Massachusetts. Maybe you visited Sturbridge Village and old replica of how they punished the criminals back in the good old days. And I was in stocks. That's not fun. It'd be worse after getting beat up. It's just not fun. It's just a sacrifice. It's just like, I don't want to do this now. I don't feel like praising the Lord. And I think Paul went like this and he said, Silas, come on. Hallelujah. 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 Silas looked and said, wow. What's the matter? And all the other cellmates, all the other prisoners, that says it in your Bible, all the other prisoners, they were listening. What's that? Paul said, let's keep going. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Bump, bump. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And by that time, Silas was right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, you're off key, Silas. Come on. They just praised the Lord. I don't think they were singing the Messiah. But they were praising. They were singing praise to God. The prisoners heard them. And there was deliverance. There was salvation. Oh, Lord, help me in everything to give thanks. In Ephesians 5:20, come on. For everything, give thanks. I said, what happens if I'm in Houston and my house is underwater? I was in Sandy and my house was underwater. You think I felt like giving thanks? Well, Lord, thank you that I'm still alive. Thank you, Lord, that in spite of the abject, difficult, hard circumstances where I can't explain it and it's not getting better, Lord, I thank you that in spite of everything, you can give me your peace that passes understanding. I thank you, Lord, that I can open up my heart to you. Does it make sense? Well, not naturally speaking, it makes no sense. But it prepares a way for God to manifest himself to you. That, to me, makes a lot of sense. Because there are times in my life when that's what I need. I started to tell the kids, and I didn't finish it, but you know, some of you know already, perhaps. A lot of years ago, my wife almost died. There was no cure for her sickness. She was allergic to all the drugs that could possibly help her. And the doctor said, I would suggest she go to Israel. There's an experimental drug and program that maybe she can get help from. And we decided to just trust the Lord. And she got very weak. She couldn't get out of bed. I had to carry her to the bathroom. It was a pitiful situation. And I could remember how hard it was for me. It's hard to see your wife when you're virtually newlywed. I was in my mid-20s, maybe a little younger than that even, and here she was lying there dying. It's hard to give thanks. It's hard to offer a sacrifice of praise. But I remember one night, I just felt so overwhelmed. I felt so in despair, and I knew I shouldn't, but I did. And I just began to sing. I just began to thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I don't know if you know that little chorus. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole, for giving to me your great salvation, so full, so free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And my wife didn't get better that night, but I got better. There was a lift in my spirit, in my soul. Jesus came to me. He preserved me. He delivered me from myself. And that's what I needed that night. It was a few days later that one of the pastors from the church, I wasn't a pastor yet. I was working in a secular job at that insurance company I mentioned yesterday. The pastor came, and people had come frequently to we moved back into my mother-in-law's home because I couldn't care for my wife and I had to go to work. And people would come and pray, and the pastor came one day, and as they were praying, and as he prayed, Joyce just looked up at me, and she said, did you feel that? And I said, I didn't feel anything, but I'm not the sick one, you are. She said, Jesus touched me. Jesus touched me. And from that point on, she was bleeding internally. From that point on, the bleeding stopped. She began to gain strength. She's well. Jesus touched her. But I wonder sometimes if the greater lesson that I learned, wasn't so much that, yes, Jesus Christ can heal people that are sick, but I think I learned that in the darkest night, if you sing, he shows his salvation. He's a very present help in time of trouble. And I want to learn that lesson. I need to learn it better. That's why at the end of that, I included that little verse from Psalm 25 where David prays, Lord, show me your ways. Lead me. You know, his ways are higher than your ways. They're quite different than your ways. His ways are best, though. Lord, show me your ways. Lead me into your truth and teach me. You are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. May the Lord help us, all of us, to learn that way. You know, in Corinthians we read, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I'm pretty sure that one of those weapons is a weapon of praise. Use it. Become skilled with it. Learn to praise the Lord continually. That doesn't mean 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oops, oh, I stopped for a minute. I failed the Lord. Now what am I going to do? I was telling him, I eat continually. I think you all eat continually. I know Chinese people think that they eat a lot. I think German people eat a lot. I think people eat a lot. We eat, 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 eat. Everything. Every time we get together, we got to have food. We eat. Continually, we eat, eat, eat. But you really don't eat continually, but you really do. And I think you understand what I'm saying. And I think that I don't praise the Lord, the fruit of my lips, continually, but I do. Every day, throughout the day, at different times during the day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence with me. Thank you that I know you. We can offer a sacrifice of praise continually. This last little article that I don't know if you looked at it at all or read, I would recommend it. By the way, in the first session, the article that I didn't look at or touch, I think that that article by Hans Waldfogel is invaluable, or maybe I shouldn't say invaluable. I think it's every bit as good as what Sister Pearl writes, that the Holy Spirit is to make Jesus king. But here, this article, I would recommend it to you all to think about as you read it. I'm not going to take the time to do it now. I have for years now have this cut out. It's scotch taped into the front of my Bible. I could probably quote it because I've read it so many times, but the truth of this is right from the Bible. Aim to praise the Lord at all times. Good times, bad times, mistakes, failures, just aim to praise the Lord at all times, and eventually the Holy Spirit takes up that fight in you, takes up that battle of setting you into a place where his praise continually is in your mouth. Lord, we thank you. We thank you this afternoon that we know you. We thank you that we belong to you. We thank you that our name is written in the book of life. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for how you daily load us with benefits. Many, O Lord, are they wonderful works which are to us, Lord, if we were to reckon them up in order, they are more than can be numbered. Great, great is your faithfulness. Lord, we have so much to thank you for. And Jesus, it's sometimes not much of a sacrifice. It's easy to give thanks when things go our way and when you bless us and we sense your nearness. It's easy to offer our praise. But Lord, help us, because there are times that we need your deliverance, your preservation. We need your salvation. And we just sort of go to sleep at the wheel. We just kind of forget about your ways. And we try to fight our way out of our dilemma. We try to fight our way out of our bog and out of our glooms or despair. And Lord, your way, kind of different. But Lord, we see from your word that your ways, they really do work. So teach me, teach me, teach me. Help me, Lord, I pray. For Jesus' sake. God bless us, Lord. I pray that something that we've looked at or read or talked about this afternoon, something will benefit our hearts. Something will be able to be applied to our lives. And that, Lord, we might profit because we spent these moments in your presence thinking and looking at you. Bless the rest of this day. Lord, as we have downtime, we pray that you'll just refresh us and draw near to us and bring us back tonight anticipating a meeting with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.